Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
My name is Rose Vasquez, and I'm your worship leader this morning. Today's reading is out of Matthew 20, 1 through 16, the laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went again about noon and then about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this to the last, the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord.
I don't like to think of myself as a complainer, but I'll admit I can grumble with the best of them. I told you a few weeks ago that I'm a 9 on the Enneagram personality type system. When I mentioned it before, I told you that it made me prone to being a peacemaker, shying away from conflict. Well, another aspect of being a 9 is that I have a deep and abiding commitment to all things fair. I see things through the lens of fair and unfair, right and wrong, just and unjust. So when things don't seem fair, as is the case probably 85% of the time, I get a little uncomfortable, which can often lead to grumbling. During my last years working at hospice, I ended up being in charge of the chaplain on-call schedule, precisely because of my great commitment to fairness and some subsequent grumbling. The schedule was being put together by a different chaplain each month, so there was this willy-nilliness about it with no one tracking how many weekends each chaplain was doing, how many weeknights, how many holidays, how many Friday nights. Now, as much as I loved the ministry of chaplaincy, I didn't particularly love being on call. As an introvert, it was hard for me to be that intensely available for 24 hours at a time. So when I started to count and keep track of assigned on-call days and nights and weekends, I began to grumble a bit to other chaplains, to our supervisor, about the lack of fairness in the way the schedule was created. And lo and behold, guess who ended up doing the schedule for the next several years? Moi. And I can say that while on-call still may not have been a lot of fun, it was, from that time forward, definitely fair. As we look at our parable for today, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, I'm thinking some of those folks might have been Enneagram 9s as well, because they got into a huff about something that didn't seem fair. But the truth is, if we look a little deeper, we find that this parable doesn't just shine a light on our sometimes staunch sense of fairness, right and wrong, but from a different angle, it points toward something very essential in our lives of faith, grace, God's grace. And that's really what's at the heart of this passage, what it's all about. Sometimes people ask me what the difference is between United Methodism and other Christian denominations. And while there are lots of differences in structure and style and liturgy, the thing I generally lift up as distinctive about United Methodism is grace. Now, that's not to say that other denominations don't believe in grace. They do. But United Methodists are kind of crazy about grace. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, was so intent upon the grace of our lives that he talked about grace in all kinds of different ways. I won't get into all of the nitty-gritty details of it today, but in the United Methodist tradition, we don't just have grace. We have prevenient grace and justifying grace and sanctifying grace, all moving us toward new life in Christ at a variety of different times in our lives and in a variety of different ways. So United Methodists are known for the way we do committees and meetings and potlucks when it's not COVID time, but we are also known for the way that we do grace. And the reality is that grace sounds great in theory. We are believers 100% behind God's grace. But our parable for today points out that the real-life application of grace can get messy. It's not always easy. In fact, at times, it can be downright scandalous. So you heard this wonderful account as Rose shared our scripture reading this morning. It was harvest time in the vineyard, and day laborers were being hired to help with the extra work. Some started at the crack of dawn and others were hired, brought in later during the day. The workers hired in the morning agreed upon a wage that would have been reasonable in that day. The other workers were simply told that they'd be paid what is right. Some workers even came as late as the very last hour, not knowing what, if anything, they'd receive. Well, the first stars could be seen in the sky, and the long workday was finally over. The landowner instructed his manager to pay the workers who had come last first. That might have irritated some of the workers who had come early. After all, they had been there all the long day. But when they saw that the manager paid the 5 o'clock workers a full day's wage, they became eager with anticipation. For certainly, if those who came so late in the day got a full day's wage, then they were bound to get more, right? Wrong. Those all-day laborers got to the front of the line, held out their hand, and got the full day's wage. Exactly the same thing that the 5 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 12 o'clock and 9 o'clock workers got. And that's when it happened. You could probably sense it beginning to stir inside them even before any words were spoken. They might have shuffled their feet and cleared their throats and mumbled a little bit at first to themselves. And then I imagine they launched into full-scale grumbling. These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Now, I have no trouble sympathizing with them, really. In the same position, we probably all would have been caught up in the expectation that the laborers who had worked the longest and the hardest would receive more. But we also recognize that they didn't really have much of a leg to stand on. Because, of course, they got paid exactly what had been promised. No one had done them any wrong. No, in this case, the offense wasn't in the fact that the early morning workers had been treated unfairly. They weren't. The offense was actually to be found in the generosity of the landowner to the others. That's what they were unhappy with. More specifically, the landowner had made the latecomers equal to them, on the same level, and that just didn't sit right with them. It didn't sit right at all. And I love this parable because it reflects an attitude or a stance that is so prevalent and common in our very human lives. We all have ideas about how things should and shouldn't be. We all have ideas about that which is right and fair and appropriate. We're very attached to those ideas. And when some incident just doesn't sit right with us, like those Johnny-come-latelys getting paid the same thing as those hard-working folks who came first thing in the morning, we are prone to grumble. Now, most of us have our own unique styles of grumbling that we master over the course of our lifetimes. Some of us are more confrontational grumblers. We just outright grumble to who we perceive to be the source of our problem. Others of us are a little more subtle. We mumble when we grumble, just kind of letting people pick up on a word here or there, hoping they'll get the full force of our dissatisfaction without our having to come right out and say it all. Still, others of us don't say a word until we're well away from the situation, and then we grumble to other people looking for a sympathetic ear. But the truth is, I think we're all grumblers at times. And like the workers in the vineyard, we're sometimes prone to grumble not just at grave injustices in the world, but also at what we perceive to be unearned blessings bestowed on another. Sometimes that just doesn't sit right with us. Sometimes it's downright offensive. Now, when we first read this parable, we might not immediately feel the full force of the offense. And Jesus might have used a different scenario if he were to craft and tell this parable, say, in this particular congregation and context today. Because the setting of the workers in the field is not a setting to which most of us can relate extremely well. We hear the story and we can grasp the misunderstanding and dismay of the early bird workers, but we can probably accept without too much difficulty the generosity of the landowner to the workers who came late in the day. That was a nice thing for the landowner to do. We get the point, but we probably don't feel in its entirety the offense of the early bird workers or the joy of the latecomer workers in a way that a day laborer might. Now, I never really grasped the offense of this story until a colleague of mine told me about a great joy in his life. We were talking about this particular parable, and he told me about a time when he was in college. His father was a professor at that college, and he had a class, a history class, I think, with his dad as the teacher. Well, something happened, I can't remember what, and my friend ended up missing the final exam. He just didn't show up. And he had a good reason, something urgent had happened. And the way my friend related to the joy of the Johnny-come-lately workers was through his own experience with his father. Because despite the fact that he missed the final exam, his father gave him an A in the class. Now, I'm not really deeply offended by 5 o'clock workers getting paid a full day's wage, but I found myself speechless when my friend told me that he had received an unearned A in a college class taught by his father even though he missed the final exam. That was shocking to me. Outrageous. That's how I know what the grace of God is like, my friend said. Amazing. And I have to admit, I'm still not entirely over that. He told me that story years ago, and I still mull over the ethical implications of what his father did. I still wonder how he got away with that and if that was the right thing for him to do as a parent and as a professor. It didn't sit right with me then, and frankly, it doesn't sit right with me now. But I love the story and the fact that it sticks in my craw because it reminds me that God's realm and God's ways and God's grace turn the ways of our world entirely upside down. In our world, you do the work, you get the reward. That's how it goes. That's what we expect. That seems fair. But in God's realm, everything is a gift. We don't earn God's generosity. None of us. Grace is always amazing. It can't be anticipated or expected or calculated. If it were, it would no longer be grace. No, in God's realm, everything is different and everyone is invited. No one should remain idle without opportunity to come to the vineyard to get involved. God goes out at dawn and 9 and noon and 3 and 5 in order to gather in as many to peace, to meaning, to joy, to faith, to hope, to love, to gather in as many as will come. And those of us who got here at dawn are no more worthy and deserving than those of us who got here late in the day. The workers in the field were offended that everyone was made equal, regardless of the hour they started or the work they put in. And that was scandalous. But God's realm does the scandalous work of breaking down the barriers between them and us. In God's realm, it isn't them and us. It's we. And we are all equal. Equal in our lack of entitlement to God's grace. Equal also in our belovedness in God's kingdom. W.H. Auden once wrote, "I know nothing except what everyone else knows. If there, when grace dances, I should dance." Sounds like a kingdom saying to me. If there, when grace dances, I should dance. Whether in our life or in the life of another, when grace dances, we could grumble, but how much lovelier and life-giving it would be to dance. The choice is entirely ours. Thanks be to God who breaks down the barriers between them and us, who invites us continually into shared life in the Spirit, that we might delight in the gifts received in our own lives and rejoice in the gifts given in the lives of others. And maybe next time we feel a little grumbling coming on in the face of grace, some unearned, outrageous, scandalous, amazing grace, maybe, just maybe, we'll remember to say, "What the heck? Isn't that awesome? Let's just dance." Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join our hearts and our spirits together in this time of prayer. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we are mindful that you are eager to know us, to love us, to invite us into your realm, your good and meaningful work in the world. We are mindful that you invite us into a place of grace and healing and restoration, not to compete with one another, but to lift one another up along this life's journey. Our vision is sometimes overwhelmed by all of the needs within us and around us, by all of the competing priorities and voices and values in our lives. Help us to focus on that which is loving, that which is kind, that which is peace-building, that which is just, that which is of you. Thank you for the invitation to a life that is deep and meaningful and shared. In a time when we feel frustrated and sometimes futile in our ability to support one another, we lift up in prayer those who are near and dear to our hearts, whether physically near or far. We know that each one is held in your tender care. We pray for those who are ill, for those who are struggling with work and employment. We pray for those who feel adrift or alone. We pray for those who feel as if they are not sure they can go on. We lift up individuals and families who deal with the challenges and struggles of living with mental illness, conditions that are exacerbated by the stress, anxiety, and isolation of COVID-19. We pray for stability, for wellness, for healing. We pray for strength and peace and patience. We pray for community and care and support in a time when that's difficult to both give and receive. We pray that even or especially on the long road of chronic illness of any kind, that signs of your grace and love would be visible, sustaining, abundant. We pray for your ever-transforming work in our lives and in our world. We thank you for the lives of public servants who have dedicated themselves to the good of all. We especially give you thanks for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one who, in words and action, bore witness to what it is to live our best, most generous life, inspiring us to the possibility of doing the same in our own skin, in our own context, in our own places of living and being. Knit us together once again. Remind us of our deep connections with one another. Help us to put down and tear down the things that divide us. Help us to be gracious with ourselves and one another, deeply grateful for the amazing grace with which you hold each one of us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.